Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Right, we are recording.
Recording, everybody. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Welcome to Two Black Girls, One Rose.
Where together we'll uncover what we can learn about modern dating, love, and relationships from popular television. I'm Natasha.
And I'm Justine.
And it only took them 6 seasons, but they finally figured out this reunion thing. 6 seasons, oh, and we finally got a reunion that to me felt satisfying.
Kind of, yeah. You know what, way better than previous
leaps
seasons.
And bounds, yeah. Better. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel differently? Like, you can start your initial thoughts, friend.
I think they did way better for them. I would have liked to see less heat on like Sarah Ann and Jerame, and mm-hmm, we got very little from Chelsea. I still don't know what went on with Brittany and Kenneth. I still don't know why they broke up, really. So that's still confusing, and that's a big fucking deal. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot on Amy and Johnny, and no one cares.
It was too much Amy and Johnny. I agree with
nobody.
That. Nobody.
No one cares. So I think there's definitely holes. They definitely could have did better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. You're right. I think Brittany and Kenneth, we still didn't get a lot from them. I guess they just want us to, you know, they did their interviews and they're like, that's what it was. Like, there's nothing more to dig in there. And I think we definitely could have done a little bit more there. And they went in on Jerame and Sarah Ann. That was big segment. My God. I enjoyed it personally, but it was a lot. And then, not as much on Chelsea and Jimmy, honestly. They really, I don't know if that's, they're like, look, we showed everything. Like, what else is there to show type of thing?
Yeah, I think they were propping up Jessica, too, for Perfect Match. I think they're, like, really propping her up to be, like, the heroine of this
Francesca.
Next Francesca. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree on those parts. But otherwise, I was enjoying myself.
Otherwise, I was gagged. It was good. Yeah.
It was good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What other initial thoughts you have?
It was 1,000 times better. They did a good job with the questions. I also loved having the other couple sitting there. I thought that was really nice.
That was nice.
Izzy and Micah, though, not sure about that. That didn't work. Well,
they were literally there just to announce Perfect Match. That was really it. Yeah.
I do think, though, if they're going to do the reunion like this, and when I say like this, I mean try and actually do it well, we need a part 2. I think we need this to be a good old nasty Bravo reunion where there's
part
at
two
least
and three.
Two, three parts. And I think we need parents to come out. I think we need to do it up.
Ooh, okay.
I would have loved to see parents or friends or something come out and have a little segment. Just have a little something. I think Clay's mom deserves an applause.
That would have been
standing
nice.
Ovation.
Yeah. I guess it's on them. They're not a part of the show, so it's would they agree to even be.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't know if they can bank on that. So, but yeah, that'd be nice.
And then for my lessons learned, if you go on TV for fame, to fake love and then to eventually go on a spinoff, should you like hire a PR firm, or like just should you start trying something new, like faking a panic attack live on television?
Oh God, who was that?
That was Trevor.
Oh, that's what he was trying to do. That's supposed to be a panic attack.
That's what I was reading. It was giving panic
attack. It was giving anxiety. Please.
I think that's what he was attempting to do. I think he was trying to fake, like, the pressure's too much for me.
The pressure.
The pressure. I can't take the pressure. Yeah. And you're going to be on Perfect Match season 2 also, from what we've heard.
He is?
From what we've heard. Yeah, people have been saying that he's on Perfect Match season 2.
I
don't know
really
if that's confirmed,
hope,
though.
I really hope not. I don't think it would be, because they dragged him. That whole segment was to drag him, and then 89 Degrees gave his little spiel, like, if you come on here to be on Fame, you know, for Fame, we're going to air you out. I don't think they're going to give that dude another chance. That'd be fucking nuts.
I would hope not, but I don't know if they filmed it before all this came out.
Oh, fuck, that's true. Okay.
Yeah, they filmed it so far ahead. I don't know if they did it, so they might have already had him in there.
Oh, God, that's going to be nuts. So, oh, God. All right, well, we'll see. Yeah,
we'll see. What about your initial thoughts, friend? What'd you think?
I feel like 89 Degrees and Sleeves got the message. They were digging through Twitter, digging through the DMs, seeing the hate they've been getting the last six seasons. Mm-hmm. And them and this team came better prepared. And that's all we ever wanted, was just preparation.
Like, that's it. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That's really it. The way they used to just walk out on stage and just be like, all right, guys, and just like shoot the shit. It was so annoying and so irritating.
Yes. Oh my God. Remember she tried to be like Auntie Vanessa?
Auntie Vanessa asking,
oh my God,
only the questions she cared about, but nothing about what the viewers want to see. And that shit was so infuriating. So I enjoyed just seeing them come prepared and pay attention to the viewers and the things that we want to hear. You know, we've been giving up our lives, our hours watching this fucking show. So hours of our time we cannot get back. I need to know why she did so and so. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, I appreciate that. I honestly kind of enjoyed 89 Degrees more.
He seemed like he was reading like this off of the teleprompter.
That's
like,
the thing though. He was asking the tougher questions. He was staying to the script. Sleeves, every now and then she put her own spin on a question, and I'd be like, bitch, no.
Oh, yeah, you're just agitated by her. I get that.
I'm just agitated by her, and just her trying to like do her own little thing. And I'm like, just read the script. Stick with the lines that production told you to read. Stop. But overall, I will give them, they did a great job. I finally can appreciate them coming to deliver. But yeah, I love this reunion. I thought they brought receipts. They really dug into, as we said, Sarah Ann and Jerame. They really dug into that. Mm-hmm. The Trevor coming out looking like the poor man's Wolverine. God. The way they dragged him out to lace him was amazing.
He really did look like that girl of that meme in court with that wig on. Like, you know, the meme of that lady in court. Oh, my God. It's on Twitter. I have to show you.
Okay.
Yeah, you've seen it. You've definitely seen that.
Okay, maybe.
But he looked like the meme. He looked like the fox. He looked like all the memes.
He looked so dumpy. He looked like a giant dweeb. He didn't look like he even bothered to hit the barbershop to shape up that facial hair. He looked like he was going through something. He looked like unwell, honestly.
The rumors about his hair being hair plugs.
Oh, God. I can't. Oh, Lord. I thought they, for almost a 2-hour reunion, they really, again, there's definitely some plot holes. There's definitely some holes. I think Jimmy and Chelsea, like where they stand today, I would have loved to hear
that. Love to know. Yeah.
Yeah. We can read that they've kind of dated a little bit after the show, but it doesn't sound like they're together. So I would love for them to dig into that. But my highlight I want to talk about was Clay and Clay's segment. That was the biggest highlight for me. We see a guy like Clay, right? A pretty guy making all the wrong moves. Mm-hmm. And when we watch that, we feel validated. We're like, you know, niggas ain't shit. See? Mm-hmm. See, they ain't shit. Mm-hmm. But I really commend him for putting his whole ass out there. He was honest. He was vulnerable. I walked into the reunion still like, we'll see what Clay has to say. Like, still dubious, still not wanting mm-hmm. to trust this dude at all. And he really came to the reunion fully owning everything, you know, admitting that he was not ready for this process, that he played AD, and gave really good full context to his demons that he kept talking about. You know, his mental state of battling, you know, I want to be a good guy. I want love and marriage. But then the devil on his shoulder saying, you ain't shit. You don't deserve this. Look at your daddy. Like, even just hearing him say that out loud, I thought was really important context, particularly for someone like me, which I feel like is a lot of women walking in like, Clay still ain't shit, what he got to say, you know? I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was just a very, very interesting watch, the reunion and just him as a figure on television, to see that guy humanize, you know, to hear in his voice, particularly on this reunion, like, by virtue of the vocabulary that he was using, that he has been in therapy. I think it was said several times by Clay. Even Jimmy at one point said something about how men don't talk to each other. They don't do emotions. They don't talk about emotional things. Father to son, friend to friend, men are out here just trying to pretend as if they're not emotional beings. And, you know, that's a woman's thing. You know, women do that. And life is tough. Life is hard for everybody, not just women. And to pretend like they can just go through life without talking about emotions, without, you know, crying when you need to cry, screaming when you need to scream. Like, so I will always commend a Black man speaking openly about his emotions, showing his emotions, talking about therapy, using himself as an example to show that it's okay. I really, really enjoyed watching his segment. I was really, I felt for him in that moment too. And I really commend him. I honestly didn't even care about him and AD and like where they're at. I was just kind of happy to see his arc and to understand where he's at today. That it really sit with me. I was like, I actually don't really care if they're together. Like, I really just want to know what's going on with Clay and, you know, is he showing up better for himself? And I really appreciate that. And that's what I love about Love is Blind is like every season, there's like multiple big topics, meaty topics to dig into. And we've seen Black male emotion, I would say, season four with Marshall. That was kind of a topic, but we really dug into it this season with Clay. And he was like the, he was like such an archetype of like that player dude that we all have dated or hate or whatever. And to see this conversation come out of that person and to see his full arc on this reunion, I thought was just like very fascinating television and I really appreciated it. So that's my little soapboxer.
Clay, you're doing better.
I like to see it. I love to see
I have one more initial thought, friend, that I forgot to say. I am so glad that this podcast exists because therapy is getting to be like bully. It's getting to be a word that doesn't really mean anything. You know what I mean?
Trevor,
like, go get therapy.
I need therapy. I'm like, you need? So you haven't been in therapy this whole time. Just saying the words. They know that if they say it, people will like, you know. You know, make them, you know, make them look good in some way.
And I'm just glad that we dive into deeper than, oh, you just need therapy. Or even what you just said, his actions, the way that he was sitting, the way that he was gesturing to AD, all of his actions and his words match up. He seemed like he had been to therapy. He seemed like he's tried a few different ones. It was very evident versus somebody like Jerame or Trevor, who was just sitting there, the same old person, and just said, oh, yeah, I should get therapy. I should get therapy, as if really like it doesn't mean anything.
Nothing.
You know, so I'm just happy that we get to dive in. We get to dive in with therapists.
Exactly.
And get some real answers.
Nice. Shout out to our show. Anyways, we shout out to the Rose Garden. We love you guys. Our beautiful community. If you want to watch us on video, if you want any extra bonus features, join Patreon at patreon.com/twoblackgirls1rose. You can try out a membership with a 7-day free trial. This reunion was a lot, so we're just going to dive in. The pre-show is the reunion. Like, there's nothing else to even talk about right now in America, so we're going to just dive right in.
Girl, there's plenty of talking about in America, but we're going to avoid it.
We're going to avoid it, though. Exactly. Let's dive into this goodness. All right, so we have 89 degrees and sleeves in the pies.
No, we're gonna skip this.
I thought it was cool, just kind of them walking through the warehouse, like seeing how this where the hell they film, like what the shit is. And we see that there's like other, you know, alums there, Lux and Brennan, Brent and Tiffany. They come out, there's a whole live studio audience, beautiful sets. Everyone looks gorgeous. I was like, okay, this is a reunion. This grand, for this show, for Love is Blind, this global phenomenon, this is what y'all should be doing.
Yeah.
So finally the reunion matched, even visually, the visuals of the reunion matched what this show is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They even tease, I just love how they were just like playing with things, like Trevor's coming out 29 minutes away, like the countdown.
No. Very similar to Raquel in the trailer of Vanderpump Rules.
At Vanderpump, yes. they paid attention. They did a little sit down with Andy, to try to consult on how they do this. They came prepared. I was like, this is what we should have been seeing. This show is a humongous show. Why hasn't our reunion looked like this? The heck? Even if I'm saying our reunion. Why hasn't our reunion looked like this?
We have possession over
possession.
The
yes.
We're stakeholders in the reunion.
Stakeholders in this freaking show. Goddamn.
Oh my god. That's funny.
Anyways, of course they start with Amy and Johnny. You know, we get the whole update from them. Their families are super close, spending holidays together. We learn that they're one of 9 couples that are still married.
Yeah.
Over the past 6 seasons, which that's not for nothing, you know.
We've
seen worse ratios in other franchises. So
Yeah, I think that's actually the same ratio when a franchise has been on for 20 years. So I think they have about the same rate. So
right.
Also, no season 1 couples were there. What did you think about Lauren and Cameron and Amber and Amber Barnett not being there? People were talking about it.
Them.
People were saying.
Really? I didn't really think about it. We've seen them at other events before, I feel like, or we've seen them do Love is Blind stuff before. And since then, there's been, Chelsea and Kwame, they're still married. There's Zach and Bliss. There's like other people to elevate, Brett and Tiffany. So I actually kind of appreciated almost that they weren't there. I wanted the Brett and Tiffany moments. Like, let's not forget about them. Shit, Zach and Bliss, they weren't there, but like, they're another successful couple. Matt and Colleen totally forgot about them, but they still married.
Totally
That's crazy.
And I'm so upset she moved in with him. I was like, no.
They are for real couple. They've been together like 5 years at this point. Alexa and Brennan. Like, there's other couples that that could also use some elevation. Lauren and Cameron, we love them. We will always love them. They're the goats, blah, blah, blah. But it's nice to see the shine on others, I think. All those couples are there. Mike and Izzy, as we said, Gigi and Blake of Bachelor Nation, randomly sitting there.
You know, because he don't miss a TV appearance, honey.
Sure don't. Was his face looking a little different to you?
A little different. Yes,
okay.
It was.
Okay. Like, what's happening with your face, Blake? But you look different.
I was like, damn, maybe it's Giannina. Remember Damien got all them fillers and Botox and all that?
Oh my God, that's true. I forgot he talked about that.
Damn, they got a little influence.
Her influence, I know. But she's pregnant. She looks gorgeous.
She's so cute.
She's so cute.
I love how she looked in her little gloves.
Her dress. Just amazing. And she said she was lined up to go on Perfect Match. And then she met Blake. Now she's pregnant, so
that's wild. So you got a perfect match in her real life.
Exactly. IRL, good for her. Okay, Jarame. They go in on this whole thing.
Everyone's hair. Why was Jarame's hair looking like that? What it was so like? Small. It was so wispy. It was small. It was, there were so few hairs. I was really upset by that. I was devastated.
I didn't even see his hair. I was distracted by this horrible outfit, the Hawaiian shirt and the, was he wearing a white suit?
Cowboy's outfit.
Yes. His attempt. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, my love life is going well. I am seeing somebody. Out comes Sarah Ann looking straight up like toddlers and tiara, bitch. Like,
that is exactly what I said. Because obviously 400 people were texting me last night live watching this reunion.
No, oh my God.
And, well, they were like, why is everyone's hair so bad? What is this hair? Like, Brittany, why? Why are we wearing this hair?
Hair was too bad. Why? She had like the one little like side little swoop, right?
Swoop, and then the updo with the pin curls. Why are we doing
not a
this,
huge updo Brittany? Person.
She's so pretty. She's so gorgeous. Her makeup was flawless. Why did she do this, Sarah Ann? Why are we doing this? She looked like she would put them little staple glitters in them. You know those? Do you remember that staple glitter?
It was giving mall kiosk. Like she had, you know, this
1,000% the Daisy Fuentes fucking headband.
Yes. Or the little like hair piece attachment, and the lady would try to sell it to you. That's what she's like, straight up. Oh my God. So anyway, she came out looking nuts, and they kiss, they sit, they've been together almost a year. They live together because this nigga lives with every girl that walks past him in the street. Jesus.
Starting to feel a way about this. I'm starting to feel like he can't pay rent. I'm starting to feel like there's something going on here with them moving in. There's something going on. Maybe he can't get approved for things because he throws guns at people. I don't know. There's something going on with his living situation.
Something is going on. Why are you living with every girlfriend?
Everyone.
Every girlfriend?
After not that long. A year is not that long.
After a few months, he moves in with everybody. What is that?
Because he's month to month. Anyway, let me not talk.
He's moving month to month. Oh my God. So Laura is not there. She's on Zoom, zooming in from Barcelona. She's on a work trip.
Bad for her. I don't know what she does, but sign me up.
Out here. I know, out here. Collecting your coins. Good for you, girl. So 89 Degrees immediately brings up Jerome's former fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And he agrees, yes, I was previously engaged. Everybody knew. Laura and Sarian confirmed that they did know that he was engaged.
Uh-huh.
And his same story. He's like, I sold my house. I went on the show. Everything happened afterwards. So whatever. It's like, who knows what the timeline is.
I know. Yeah.
Based on the fiance, it's not what he's saying. So, and Jerome, nobody believes what you're saying anyway. So fuck you.
Right.
Anyways. Yeah. So Jerome, why did you lie about your location to Laura? He says he didn't. Same thing. Mm-hmm. We only talked. I dropped off Sarah Ann.
Yep.
Laura's still saying that's a lie. She was like, the two of yous were corroborating on the same lie that you guys didn't leave the parking lot. And that's not true based on your location.
Mm-hmm.
He then claims, you know, as soon as I came home, I came upstairs. I told Laura everything. She says that is a lie.
That's not true either. Yep.
That's not true. She's like, I should have been sitting on the front porch and waiting for your ass.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not true. I called you out the next morning at like 10 a.m. So stop. Sarah Ann chimes in, calling Laura a pick me girl. You know, you're just a pick me girl. And
why is that the new cunt? I'm really not understanding what this is. This like. I'm not getting it because I mean, she's a definition textbook. You open it up there, Sarah Ann's picture right there with this fucking Tyler's Deer hairstyle and this body glitter is a pick me.
Pick so me girl. I guess she's
a projection, I guess.
Yeah. So I'm sure that was like all up in her DMs, all the bullying and hate she was getting was people saying you're a pick me girl. You're a pick me girl.
Yeah,
so now she's trying to reclaim, you know, she's trying to reclaim the term and now use it against Laura, which makes no sense whatsoever. Oh, my God. So Sarah Ann doubles down. They did not kiss that night. Laura's like, I don't care what they did. Y'all are disgusting. Yeah. Like, I don't care. And yeah, Laura kind of gives her context of like, to go from all day with my family to that same day you stay out till 5 a.m. with her is just wild. God. Ooh. Is just wild.
Yeah.
And she's like, I had no reason to believe that he was even wavering. We always checked in on each other. How are you today? Mm-hmm. 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. Mm. I had no reason to believe that he was at a 0 out of 10, clearly. And yeah. mm-hmm. for you to have one conversation with Sarah Ann so that leads to you breaking up with me. Like, what?
Right. Overnight after you met my family. Yeah, that's a right. very quick turnaround.
Mm-hmm. And she brings up how he told Sarah Ann during their conversation that he was going to end things with Laura. Mm. Which they were sitting mm-hmm. on the couch, like, shaking their head. And I'm like, Sarah, yeah. you literally said that you on camera to AD. You mm-hmm. said that in your conversation to AD, that he told you he was going to break up her. So, mm-hmm. what? Then we got a little BTS footage of Laura and Sarah Ann's conversation. Yes.
I lived for all these deleted scenes.
I love this. Yeah.
They learned from that cutie scene.
They did. That was a hit. So mm-hmm. they know, do we put this in the cut or do we save it for the reunion? Like, yeah. I love this. Yes. So we saw them at the pool party. Sarah Ann was like very apologetic to Laura. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She talked about the message that she sent, the DM she sent to Jerame, and says that she was heartbroken. And she sent the message mm-hmm. to get her own closure. She sent it knowing that Laura would probably read it as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Laura just told her, like, woman to woman, I found it disrespectful. And my issue was really with him because I trusted yeah. him to protect my heart. So it's not even right. really about you.
You.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she let Sarah Ann know, like, her full feelings on Jerame. She's like, I don't trust him. I don't believe mm-hmm. him. The way he's conducted himself in the pods versus now, like, he is not who he says he is.
Right.
And in the last few days, all he's been talking about is his image. Now he wants to look. Mm-hmm.
And himself compared to Jimmy.
To Jimmy. Leave Jimmy out of it.
Jimmy caught a stray, bitch. I was like,
oh my God. No, I look worse than Jimmy. I look worse than Jimmy. But basically, Laura's conversation.
I'm sorry.
Jimmy caught a stray. Jimmy getting dragged into combos. Lord.
He was on the couch at the reunion. Like, the fuck?
The fuck? What do I have anything to do with Sarah Ann and you? Like, what? Oh, God. Woo.
And one more thing. Mm-hmm. Did you notice when they panned on the bottom left corner of mm-hmm. Sarah Ann on the reading couch? She was mm-hmm. nodding along, agreeing to herself talking. I was like, oh no, they really are Kim and Kanye, these two.
They
just
are just
up their own ass.
Yeah, just... they really are ridiculous.
Like, crazy.
So crazy. She looked wild in that conversation. Because Laura yeah. was like yeah. basically warning her, like, do what mm-hmm. you want to do with him, but like he is a fraud. Like, yeah. just know that. Mm-hmm. And she was looking at Laura like, oh my God, yeah. Like, so like, what did he say? And like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. What does he like for dinner? I'll make it.
Like, right. What? Doesn't give a idiot. Fuck. In one ear, out the next. She's like, yep. that's my man. I'm gonna be with him. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they then, let's see, Sarah Ann, okay, we learned Sarah Ann doesn't talk to any of the women. She's saying they iced her out of the group mm-hmm. chat, and then she was like going yeah. off on Jessica. Jessica was like, the fuck?
Oh,
like,
please. Yeah.
Just the way that they just deflect. Jerame mm-hmm. is like, mm-hmm. well, Jeremy, Jimmy sucks, and
yeah.
Sarah
yeah.
Ann, well, Jessica iced me out. It's like, can y'all just look at the two of yous and how yeah. ridiculous the two of you guys look? Right. Stop trying to look outwards. Everybody's looking mm-hmm. at you crazy. Stop. And Jessica said it very well. She's like, no one could empathize with you more than I could.
Uh-huh.
I got chosen over as well.
Yep.
And it's about mm-hmm. respect and you guys not going about this respectfully. That's really it. Mm-hmm. That's it. There's mm-hmm. nothing else to say but that.
Mm-hmm. And we got another term, another buzzword term, girls, girl.
Girls, girl. That's true. That was another one. You're not a girl's girl. You're not a girl's girl.
You're not a girl's girl. What grade are we in? What? You're not a girl's girl? Are we for real right now?
And it's not even about, as Jessica said, it's not even about being a girl's girl. It's just a respect thing.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You don't have to be a girl's girl to respect somebody. It's just about
not
respecting
hit on someone engaged,
right? It's just about respecting another human,
yeah,
which was Laura in this situation, and just mm-hmm, waiting mm-hmm. till you saw Jerame in person to say something. sending that message and doing this kind of behind the back foolishness. And then Jerame, your lack of respect for everybody and yourself and the situation is just crazy. It's just about respect, people. Chelsea chimes in. She's like, every time I see them, they're broken up.
They're broken up. I said, oh! Another stray.
Caught. Another stray.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, God. She said she saw Jerame out twice. Both times, he said him and Sarah Ann were broken up. Like,
which was probably true.
Disaster. It was probably true. Of course.
That I believe.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. That's the one time Jerame told the truth.
And this is the good part about them doing like a big city, small town feel location.
Yeah, Charlotte was good for this. Yeah,
Charlotte was good because New York City.
See each other out.
Yeah, they see each other out.
Never see that person again. Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jerame's like, you know, it's real life. You know, we're fighting through it. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I know your relationship is just a mess.
Wait, he said we've had our ins and outs. I said, oh, no, that's not a phrase. That's not a phrase.
We've had our ins and outs.
Ins and outs? That's something you say about like a situationship. That's not something you say about a real, actual adult relationship. But, you know.
Whatever.
They committed. They live together.
They committed. They committed to this story. They're trying to show that they are in love. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. They're like, look, we battled the elements. We went through this terrible process and we found each other. We came together. They want that story to be told.
Yeah.
But Chelsea's like, I saw you last week and you say you don't work with her. So what you mean? God. Oh, Lord. Then they play some video of Sarah Ann from online where she was like doing her little TikToks. Like, it's just entertainment.
Her TikToks are the fuck wild.
Are they?
Girl, they are crazy. Oh, she said, she says she's happy that people stand up for what they believe in. Talking about her going and texting Jerame on the side and like people on her side. People are like, so happy people stand up for what they believe in. And all the comments are like, please. People are calling her side salad Sarah. People are like, please, Sarah, not today.
People are just going in.
Oh, my God. Side salad Sarah. Fuck.
Because it's the being wrong and strong
and
that
loud.
Is putting all of us off. Because we could understand this love story. We've seen it on previous seasons. Where the guy
and Colleen
or the girl
are sitting there.
Right?
The worst.
We've seen it. Where it's sometimes funky. You chose the wrong person. Mm-hmm. You go to the right one afterwards. You make it work. It's messy in between. But it's the fact that y'all are so wrong and strong. And your behavior is so disrespectful. And your shit sounds toxic and funky. But you're trying to sell it like it ain't. Like, that's our issue. That is really it. You're on TikTok making TikToks talking about, I don't give a fuck. Like,
and one of you has to be likable. We want to all say
somebody.
Colleen. That's why we
right.
You know, we all love Bliss. You know, Zach's a little, Zach's somebody's type. And we're like, wow, your Bliss is type?
Your Bliss is type, but she looks so happy. Okay. Right. But the you're right.
So happy. Yeah.
She does. They look so cute. I love Zach and Bliss, honestly. But Sarah Ann and Jerame, they're both very unlikable people. So it's just, it's tough. But Laura, I thought she dropped the mic with this. She said, my 96-year-old grandmother had a flight to our wedding.
Oh my God.
He has met some of the most important people in my life. And then the last minute he broke things off with me and got with you. Like, that's why I'm coming in so high. Because you guys, you've had a year to reach out to me. Our last conversation, Sarah Ann, you low-key were like asking for advice from me on how to be with him.
Yeah, that was so weird.
So weird. And then to show up here with any other energy besides an apology and humility, like, this was my real life that y'all fucked with and made a mockery of. So, and I appreciated Sleeves in that moment because she reiterated it. And then Sarah Ann and Jerame finally, tail beneath their legs, was like, I'm sorry. Like, I apologize. And it's crazy to see the lack of growth in, like, grown-ass adults. You watched yourself on television, and you still show up today like this?
A year later, a year after it happened, you watch yourself on television. That's wild.
That's so nuts.
Oh, my God.
Laura was right. Oof. I was like, to come with any type of energy besides an apology off-rip.
Yep.
Laura, the first thing Laura said to Laura was, you're a pick me girl, bitch. Yeah. What? You still have that energy in you a year later? That's crazy.
Oh my God.
These people are nuts, yo.
Yeah.
But yeah, Laura, she's moved on. She's dating somebody.
Love
and
it.
Before she left, she's like, I want to address the bean dip situation. And apologize to AD and Clay again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's been getting dragged for that too online. Like, what the fuck is this? Objectification of AD.
Yeah,
what is this?
Yeah. Didn't look great. Yeah.
Didn't look great. So I thought that was nice of her to bring it up, like, on camera. Let me say. It was ridiculous. I apologize. Didn't mean to disrespect. Blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Then out comes Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, looking like. I've been calling him that ever since your Instagram story. He really
I don't know what
exactly
else
exactly
like that. Wreck-It Ralph, somebody else say he looked like the poor man's Wolverine with his facial hair.
The facial hair that he shaves the laugh lines so it doesn't connect on purpose. What?
Oh, what? He seems unwell. To walk out on television looking like this, honestly, to walk out on national television, everybody's in gowns and tuxedos, and you look like the IT guy. Why?
In gingham. Why?
In gingham, yes, from Big and Tall. Tucked in, your pants don't fit, your hair looks a mess. I'm like, can somebody check on Trevor? He looks unwell. Why he look like this? Like, he's not thinking straight. Something is off.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
That's what I think he wants us to believe. Because this next panic attack was so faked. I was like, what? Yeah. Oh, we'll get into it. Yeah, we'll continue. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So Sleeve said the internet went from protect Trevor, everybody protect Trevor, to now
so
Trevor
quick.
Has a full girlfriend outside and we all hate you. Then they pull up the text messages. They read the text messages verbatim. And he's just sitting there looking like Boo Boo the Fool, almost like he had no idea that they were going to address this. I don't know what production told him to come to this reunion. I don't know what they... What,
I think he knew.
Story. He seems so like, what did you expect they were going to talk about with you? They turned to him.
Yeah.
They turned to him. He's just sitting there like silent. Did you not prepare for this, my guy? Like, what?
Yeah, this act that he's trying to put up. Because he also had a year, right?
You had a full year.
Fucking with Natalina. And
right.
then had a full year to decompress. Still decided with that knowledge, knowing that she has all those text messages that she could sell to anyone. You put up damn near nudes. on your Instagram and tried to thirst trap us into liking you.
Into liking you.
Not knowing that that girl is just as diabolical as you are.
Yeah.
And she was going to expose you. That is so wild.
Yeah.
To think that they wouldn't turn on each other.
Right. Right.
That's
like,
so
he fully
weird.
Underestimated her, underestimated this whole process, the show, the fame, like, the level of hate he was going to get. Like, he totally is like he was playing a game with his own life. Just so bizarre. So he finally says, you know, I was not,
God.
Is his story.
I was
not dating her.
I
never said to her, will you be my girlfriend? She was, you know, the typical girl I'd go for in real life. But I told her I wanted to go on the show to experiment with something else.
I'm sorry. Experiment.
So you fully had a girl you were dating. You're claiming today wasn't your girlfriend. She was just a girl you were hanging with. And you told her, I'm going to go experiment on this show. So that's already just treating the show like I'm going to go
do
this experiment.
Right? Yeah.
Just fucking lying. So 89 degrees immediately calls out, you were telling her you loved her in the text. So what are you talking about right now? And you got Chelsea involved in this. Like, you could have gotten engaged to Chelsea. Like,
to Chelsea.
What was the plan?
And that was your plan. Wasn't that his
that
plan?
Was
like,
plan.
I'm going to go get married and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. As outlined in the text messages.
Exactly.
That was the plan. Him and Aaliyah was going to do this plan together. I don't get her role in that, but okay. Like,
we're going couple to thruple? What were they going to do?
What was the plan? Bring out Natalia.
I'm saying.
Bring out
Natalia. I need to see. Because this Ask Me Anything on Instagram, I need more. I need interrogation live.
Live. Put them on the spot.
Yeah.
What was the plan? And then he just says, you know, we were toxic. She's a toxic person. I'm fucking toxic. I know I need therapy. I know I need to change. Like, again, buzzwords, toxic. Mm-hmm. I'm toxic.
Yep.
So we're all supposed to be like, okay, he's toxic. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I know I need therapy. Okay, you need therapy. You know that. It's fine. A year later, my guy, you're still sitting here talking about you need therapy. Mm-hmm. And Chelsea shares, she's like, look, I had an intuition that I shouldn't choose him. Mm-hmm. I couldn't explain it, but now I can explain it.
Yep.
Which I don't know how true that
is. I don't really believe that at all. But I really like that she got her look back with that comment. I really enjoyed that. That
I
was
love
great.
The moment for her, yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, Trevor's like, I was so broken up by, you know, me and Chelsea breaking up. You know, Johnny, wasn't I broken up? Johnny knows. Everybody trusts Johnny. You know?
Oh my God.
Drag Johnny. Now Johnny caught a stray. He don't want nothing to do with this situation at all.
He wants to sit next to Amy and have a great time.
Have a great time. Just watch the entertainment. But Johnny does confirm, yes, he was broken up. And yeah, the other ladies kind of chime in about him just being there, just being inauthentic and being here for fame or whatever the fuck other ulterior motive you were here for. And the heat was getting a bit much and he was like, can I leave?
I can't. I absolutely can't. I absolutely cannot. There are rumors that you're on another show, my guy. If you're going to come up here and say it. Like AD said, don't be quiet now. Say it with your chest.
Say it with your chest.
Why are you sitting here trying to get me to like you and trying to get me to think that you have some kind of a mental health crisis going on here live on this couch?
Right.
Oh my God. It was so bizarre. I was like, how is this the plan? It just seemed really narcissistic that he would think that we would believe that he's like so broken up about this, even though it happened a year ago.
And the text message things just came out not that long ago.
That just came out and that happened however many months ago. You didn't have all that time to figure out a plan or therapy or something, start a podcast or something.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, did production dupe him into coming here? Like, what did they tell him was going to happen on this segment? Like, oh, we're having the perfect match, people come. Like, come on out. He seems so caught off guard, like unprepared, didn't know what was about to hit him. Can I leave? Like panicking. And it's like, what did you think we were going to talk about on this stage? Like, he seems so.
Yeah.
Which could all be an act, but he just seems so.
I feel like it was an act.
Bamboozled.
Yeah. I feel like it was an act just because he knows all the hate he's been getting. And why wouldn't they ask him?
Yeah, I guess.
And then they pulled up Sarah Ann's TikToks. You think they were going to pull up those text messages?
Right.
Anyway.
Oh, God. So he got roasted and then 89 Degrees is like, you can leave now. Just like walked away, head down.
Shuffled away.
No claps, no boos, just like in silence.
Yeah, no claps or boos. How whack of a villain you were. Damn.
Oh, God. Mess. Now, AD and Clay.
Wow.
AD shares. I know, it's a lot, guys. AD, first of all, she looked amazing. She looked incredible.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Fire.
The dress was amazing. The makeup was beautiful. Makeup was so good.
And her in the dress, it was like the definition of wearing a dress, not the dress wearing you.
Wearing
type
you,
of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, she really was just, that dress looked, it was like made for her the way it was just. So fitted and beautiful. Anyways, AD says, you know, a lot of weeks went by before they spoke after the wedding. Clay eventually called her. She says, just it's not normal to watch yourself have a breakdown on television.
Yeah.
Like, very tough to watch back.
Mm-hmm.
And from Clay's perspective, he said it was very hard to watch her be so excited in her bridal suite. All her family, everybody's excited, and how he feels like he did disrespect for their time. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, 89 Degrees asked, you know, would you do things differently, Clay? And he's like, I struggled with getting out of my own way. I, throughout the whole process, was constantly battling, like, am I a good guy? Am I a bad guy? AD was always there to uplift me. But I myself didn't believe I was a good guy. I didn't believe I deserved love and marriage. And then looked at AD and said, honestly, she's the love of my life. I made a mistake saying no at the altar. I've been doing therapy to be a better person. I apologize. I made a mistake.
We could tell.
He seemed very humbled by this process. Humbled by this whole process.
And great language around how he was feeling, too. I didn't know if I deserved. That was really good.
It was. And you could see, when you hearing him say it now and then, like, thinking back, that's really what he was going through. He was like, I want this. In his heart of hearts, he's like, I want this. I don't want my dad and mom head. I do believe in the institution of marriage. My parents are married for 25 years. Like, I believe in it. But I don't want to act like my dad. I want to believe I'm a good person. I really want this. But as he kept telling AD the whole time, all I know is cheating. You know, I don't know if I cannot cheat. I don't know if I can trust myself not to. Like, really, that battle was plaguing him the entire time. So, him saying that it was a mistake, I don't know if it was a mistake necessarily.
Definitely not.
Saying no. I think that was the right decision.
Yeah, I think so too.
So that kind of made me a little sad, him thinking of that moment as a mistake.
Still, that he like missed out on something.
AD was very emotional hearing all this. She's like, I just, what am I supposed to do with this information? What do I do with this? Clay says he would 1,000% be with her today. AD says to him, you've had your chance. There's nothing I would have done. There's nothing I wouldn't have done for you. You know, you played in my face. You knew you didn't want to get married. You know, why, if, and he's like, that's not true. And he's like, well, why aren't we married right now? And that she was still kind of stuck on the outcome. That kind of, the energy she brought to him, like, well, you knew you didn't want to get married. Like, so why aren't we married now? And it's like,
yeah, they're still in the constraints of the show. He feels like he made a mistake, right? And then she feels like, why are we married now? It's like, because marriage is serious. This is serious. Because you can't just jump back into the pool, girl. You can't jump into the deep end like that. No, you cannot do that. And it's very wise of you not to. And I understand as a 32-year-old woman that she feels a way. I definitely get that for sure.
100% I see her side.
Yeah, yeah.
But as you said, like, take away the restraints of the show. You know? This man fully, you can see on camera and him in the seat right now, he was not ready. The man he is today on this couch was not that man up there ready to be a husband. So there's a good reason why y'all are married today, you know? And then, yeah, Clay gave a lot more context as well. He said, you know, when you were walking towards me at the altar, I just knew this is my wife. But I would ask myself, like, can I show up for this woman? And I didn't think.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I could and how he was, I like how he outlined, well, like described as she was walking towards him, like the devil and the angel on his shoulder.
Yeah,
like, she's so beautiful, but then the devil's like, Clay, you know who you are. Yeah. And the age old, but look at AD, and like, nah, but you know you ain't shit. Just like,
yeah,
that literal battle at the altar as she's walking towards him, which to me gave more context. I was like, he knew he didn't want to marry her. I think that's, from, yeah, as we said, from the conversation in the kitchen, he was floating the, yeah, idea of putting out a no, and he knew in his heart of hearts the answer is no. Mm-hmm. But I think her encouragement, his uplift, like her uplifting him, like he was starting to believe it, he was hoping, mm-hmm, it so badly, you, mm-hmm, know, seeing her confident that we could make this work, that's why he dragged her all the way to the wedding, and still at the altar he was still battling with himself, like,
yeah,
in,
yeah,
the heart of his hearts he still knew I should not be doing this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think his dad coming and having that god awful conversation with him right, yeah, before
also,
I think that did
it
a lot. I think that confirmed, mm-hmm, that he was like, oh no, we have way too much in common with this, yeah, oh no,
I have,
no,
way too much work and things to process, I can't marry, mm-hmm, this woman, mm-hmm, yeah,
can't marry anybody, just, can't marry anyone,
I can't marry, yeah, anyone. It's just such a shame that it had to come to the wedding day. Like, I wish, yeah, he could have pulled a Jimmy and broke up with her before.
Same. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think he was still trying to be so hopeful, and still her confidence did a lot for him, clearly, mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm, it really brought them to that moment. But then he still couldn't do it. But yeah, he was like, I didn't put the work in to understand love before I got in, mm-hmm, the process. Mm. I, you know, I'm being diagnosed on camera as the guy with, yeah, dad issues. Like, that's, yeah, true. I didn't do this process right. I disrespected AD. I know this now.
Mm.
That's the kind of ownership. That, thank you. Thank you. Oh my God. That is the ownership. That's the accountability. That's the language. That's the humility you want to see out of somebody.
Yeah. Yes.
That's it. That's, yes, all I ever needed from Clay from the, mm-hmm, reunion was that. Mm-hmm. Just owning, mm-hmm, it completely. I was not ready for this process. I played, yep, with this girl's heart. I did, yep, not understand the gravity of what love and marriage really meant. And now I know I was absolutely not ready for it. And I played,
mm-hmm,
with her through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That just gave me so much satisfaction. That's all I needed.
Same. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And then he got very emotional on the couch talking about how he went to therapy. I tried different, yeah, therapists. Mm-hmm. I really want to be a good guy. You know, it sucks I wasn't able to be that for you, AD. You know, mm-hmm, it broke my heart seeing how I broke your heart. You know, it wasn't, mm, intentional. And, you know, I came out a different man in the end. I credit all of this to AD. And, you know, when someone changes your life, you don't want to turn your back on them. Mm-hmm. Being like, I'm, mm-hmm, still here for her.
Yes. I love, yeah, that he said that, because AD changed his family forever. That's, yeah, a very important person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was thoroughly, like, very just pleased to see him talk about even his, just owning, like, this wasn't my intention. Because that's always been my thing with Clay. I was like, what was his intention,
mm-hmm,
coming on,
mm-hmm,
this show? I've talked about it with my brother, too. Like, he looks like this. A guy that looks like this, who gets girls. There's no way he's an,
right,
athlete.
Right.
You don't have a problem getting girls. Why, yeah, were you coming on this show? Like, what the hell?
And you
was
also
the
own a business. So
own
I'm
a business,
very wary
money
about your intention of being on this show, because it,
right,
seemed like it was to promote the business.
To promote, exactly.
That's what it gave. Yeah.
That's what it's giving. So we've always been distrustful of him this, mm-hmm, entire time, because your intentions seem so wobbly. But for him to kind of say from his chest, like, it wasn't my intention. Like, I really just didn't really understand what the fuck I was walking into with this whole marriage thing. He really, which I feel like his version of marriage, of what he's seen, has been like not serious. Yes, his parents have been married for 25 years, but his dad didn't take that shit seriously at all, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And so even him in his mind of like what marriage is and the seriousness of it, I don't think he really, really understood that. I think he learned that in the process when he fell in love with this girl who was like, I will be there for you through and through. And he's, mm-hmm, like, wait a second.
He's
that's
like, wait,
what marriage
really?
Is.
Me?
Yeah. That's what marriage is? You're supposed to be there for someone, yeah, through and through? Like, he,
yeah,
had,
yeah,
no fucking idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate him kind of just like owning that. And then they ask about, or AD, A9 Degrees ask Clay or AD about the conversation between Clay's parents and like,
mm-hmm,
what that meant for her. And she says it brought her a lot of understanding as to what exactly, mm-hmm, he was battling. She didn't really understand fully how deep it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And watching that scene, it made her realize, respectfully, she's like, I don't want to be Clay's mom. Like, yeah. I don't want to be with a guy yeah. who's not ready and will string mm-hmm. me along for 25 years.
Yeah. Woo! Oof. Four kids later. I think there's four people. Wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oof. I'm glad they asked AD, too. Like, when you watched that, what did that make you think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. She was so in her head, like, he wasn't ready. Like, why did you bring me through this?
Yes.
Seeing his dad and his mom talk, like, that's what he's dealing with. That. Yeah. Unresolved that.
Yes. Yeah. I think it made us all feel something. Mm-hmm. It gave us all context to what mm-hmm. Clay was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which was, sure. yeah, it was nice that they asked that to AD and not Clay.
Right, not just
Clay. Like, obviously, Clay feels yeah. a way about this parents conversation. Like,
right, right.
You know, it's just fucking parents, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Clay said they're still healing as a family. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, a lot of Black men can resonate with coming from a broken household. Our parents, you know, did their best, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm in therapy now, so I could stop wearing the baggage of my parents.
Oh.
89 Degrees asks, has your dad apologized?
Yeah.
Come with the questions. Yes.
I know.
It's like, this is a stone I did not want to be unturned. This was a big yeah. question I had. Have you and your dad talked?
Oh, I just assumed no.
Oh, well, I wanted to hear that for sure.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, him and his dad have a great relationship. They have great banter. Mm-hmm. He hasn't said, I'm sorry. Like in that way, but he said it in his own ways, and I'm comfortable with his answer.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, therapy working. Yeah, like truly. Nedra said, you cannot change people what they're about to say. You mm-hmm. can't. You can have that conversation all you want to, but if they don't say what you want them to say, mm-hmm. that's not going to change anything. You have to move on yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's like, I'm happy with, you know, how my dad put it in his own ways, and he's a good father, you know, but, and I thought this was a great moment that he talked about, he was a great father, but you don't hear from men how to be a good husband. Mm-hmm, it's always mm-hmm. the same, happy wife, happy life. That's like all that they teach us as to how to be a wife or how to be a husband.
Mm-hmm,
and mm-hmm. he said, even going from being an athlete, transitioning from that kind of like rock star athlete getting girls to just being with one woman, like no one kind of like guides you or teaches you how to do that, which I thought was a really great point. Mm. I feel like, as we talked about with Nedra, we women are prepped our entire life how to be a wife, how to be a partner, how to be ready for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And men kind of like trudge along somehow in their 20s and 30s, and they kind of learn on their own or through TV, or maybe their dad sat down and talked to them about it, but mm-hmm. most likely not, because not a lot of men are talking, period.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they kind of just hear happy wife, happy life, like these little quips, these little epithets that are supposed to teach them how to be a man in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a great point that he made. Even going from being an athlete, getting girls, to settling down with one person, like, you've never done that before. If your entire teens and 20s are spent playing around with girls and being mm-hmm. a rolling fucking stone, mm-hmm. you're probably going to learn how to be with one girl through that girl, through the AD, which is not fair.
Yeah.
AD was the one that was teaching him how to do mm-hmm. that. There was no mm-hmm. other man in his life that really was trying to teach him this or really sat down to. So it's on his own. He's kind of standing on his own to try to figure it out. And I feel mm-hmm. like that's a lot of guys, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think that's a mm-hmm. lot of men.
Yeah, I think the defining qualities of masculinity, as we've seen from the Andrew Tates, from the Kevin Samuels, from all this, is like getting as much pussy as possible mm-hmm. is what defines you as a man.
Yeah, yes.
That's a big, big lesson from what we've seen from Fit and Furious, what are they called? Doesn't matter. Those two. Knuckleheads. Those
guys. Yeah.
Whatever. As much pussy as possible is what makes you a man versus like being an actual loyal husband and having a family and having that success, mm-hmm. which, as you said previously, a lot of men want, which I find very interesting as well. And it's very beneficial to men for men to get married. Mm-hmm. And we see this in the remarriage statistics. Mm-hmm. Men get remarried 99% of the time, not 99%, but a lot of the time, if their spouse passes away or they get divorced,
they get married again. I've seen that statistic as well. Yeah.
Women, it's like 70% of them don't. Like, they just,
because we're like, fuck that shit. I will be still out here and do my Tracy Ellis Ross and be very happy. Oh my God.
I just saw an interview with Kelly Clarkson. I think it was Tamron Hall asked her, are you ever dating? Are you going to, she was like, oh no, dating. She was like, oh, absolutely not.
Threw in the towel. Yeah, out here. Like,
oh no, I got my kids. No,
I'm happy. I'm good.
I'm happy. Mm-hmm. And it's just extremely beneficial for men to get married, which I find very interesting that they have this inner turmoil because mm-hmm. masculinity and what defines them is getting as much pussy as possible. Somebody needs to make a show about this so that we can follow it and talk about this with a therapist. I would love to dig into this more. It's so interesting.
Yeah, that is a really interesting point. I've also heard that statistic that men, after a relationship, they will quickly get into another one, or they will get remarried again, or they lost their wife. They're going to find somebody, you know, we saw Gary, the Golden Bachelor, like we've seen this. So it's like they understand the value of partnership and having a life partner and having a woman in their life. And for some reason, it's almost like what Clay was saying was like, you're lucky if you have somebody kind of teach you that value.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or not even just that value, lucky, like how to do it well.
Yeah.
And that's sad. That you're a lucky guy if you have a dad that taught you, or an uncle that taught you, or good examples. Yeah. That's luck.
Yeah, that is sad. He's learning from Brett and Tiffany season 4.
From Brett! That's so sad.
What's interesting, too, something that Tressie McMillan-Cottom said about Clay is that he has a desire to have someone on his arm who other people desire.
That's definitely part of it, I could say.
That's like economical for him. That is like a value of success for him. And I think that's a value of success for a lot of people who he was talking about, like athletes and a lot of men who are out here and like showing themselves in some kind of way. It is extremely valuable for their spouse to be someone who usually at the tippity top of it is white men desire, but it could be other black men desire. Who they like want to work with, who they want to collaborate with, who they want to somehow benefit, whether it be clout or economic success. It's like really important for them to have a wife who all of them want to fuck. Isn't that wild?
I know, that is wild. But yeah, men, this is like another thing, how men, they pay attention more than we think on what other men think of them.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes.
I don't know what that was we were reading or talking about, but how men are very conscious of each other and their jobs, what their women look like. Like there's like an underlying competition maybe, or I don't know, but
I think it's a patriarchal like underlying rule.
Like survive, it's almost like the survival of the fittest thing. Like I got the best job and I got the best single woman. Who you got? Like type of
gross.
I know.
Oh, meanwhile, Lord. You're an account manager at an agency. Like you're just what? Oh God.
Oh my God. But yeah, it's fascinating. But yeah, that I think it's really interesting, that inner turmoil of like just the mixed messages. Nedra said this as well, just all the mixed messaging, how women, our messaging is so different. We've been prepped for life for this, and then we're entering into our age of getting married with guys who are kind of just starting to figure this out, just starting to understand, because the messaging they've all been getting their whole life is fuck as many bitches as possible, get pussy, like that's it. And now they're like looking around like, wait, but I do want this marriage thing, but I don't know how to do it. How do I do it? Like, I'm not prepared for this. No one's taught me. Their dad's not saying shit to them because they don't talk. Like, it's a whole feel for them. Oh, my God. So anyways, 89 degrees, he brings up the whole comment that Clay made about you were watching the show and there's somebody that you were trying to measure yourself against. Clay confirms that was Brett, which is what we all suspected.
Yes, yes.
And it was a very nice moment between the two of them.
Oh, was.
Clay just saying, you know, Brett personifies just like a good black guy, good black man, a good husband. I really looked up to him and I didn't feel like I measured up to that standard. Like Brett was setting the standard for him. And then Brett kind of shared, like, I also didn't come from a perfect household. I also had a lot of doubts in the experiment. I credit a lot to Tiffany for just making me feel like I could show up.
Again,
Again, oh my God. We're exhausted, men. We are exhausted.
Like, I don't have a degree in this. I didn't pay for this degree.
Pay for this.
Oh my God.
Oh man. It's really interesting though, just like watching these men just credit the women and just the credit disappointment the women. Of the yes. men in their lives, teaching them how to be good husbands and good fathers and good men. It's really the women creating the space for it.
Yeah. And the Tiffany and AD, I'm sure if you ask them, like, what does Proverbs 31 say? They probably know that like passage about what it is to be a wife. In the Bible, like a good wife. And if you've ever been in a church, young adult anything, teen anything, there's a lot of women looking out to learn how to be a wife. And the amount
it's preached
of men,
at us.
It's, yes, literally, for even an extracurricular form. And even for men, there's even so few men who are qualified to give the advice to other young men to say, this is how you should do it. Wow. There are very few of them out there, especially pastors. We know. We know personally.
Right. Oh, my God.
Whew. And that's also heartbreaking to me, that the women have a playbook that we've all memorized so well that we are now also uplifting men on how to be husbands. How did we get to this place?
That's exactly it. Our learnings, our teachings over our entire childhoods and adolescence, we are now turning around and being the teachers for the men, because they didn't get the same playbook. They didn't get any playbook, actually.
Yeah.
God. I'm so interested in this topic.
Me too.
I'm really, really fascinated in this, because it brings a lot, like women, single women, even married women, because we were once single. Like,
yeah.
We have a lot of like frustration and angst towards men. Because we're like, we're ready. Like, what the fuck? Get it together. Can't you just get it together like us? What the hell? Yep.
Even in a partnership. Like, I remember it was two Christmases ago. We were talking about Christmas and how women like damn near die during Christmas because they're creating all the Christmas magic.
Oh my God. Yeah. To the family.
It's like, you don't know? You grew up in a house. There was a tree. Fuck wrong with you. But it's women. It's all us and it's all on us. Sorry. Yeah. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
No, that's true. But it's like this idea. The messaging, the mixed messaging is just like so baffling, because it's like men are supposed to be the leaders, right? They're supposed to be the leaders in relationships. They're supposed to lead the household. But then we see all these examples where the women are leading the men. Mm-hmm. We feel it ourselves. The frustrations we feel of dating and feeling like we're dating all these untherapized men who with all this unprocessed trauma, who with all their mommy and daddy's issues that they are trying to process in real time in the relationship with us. And we hold a lot of frustration and anger and angst towards men. But we're seeing how differently we've been socialized. And the reasons why we feel the ineptitude of men because of their lack of proper socialization as to how to be a partner, how to show up as a good husband, a good father, a good, you know, spouse. And it's like, how do we... I don't know what the answer is.
How do we
like,
Uno reverse?
How do we Uno reverse this? It's crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah, the more qualified men. It's crazy. And I think, too, even the representation of good relationships is pretty rough on social media and stuff, because people are so mean and that shit can be so toxic. And I think, you know, the avenue of podcasts can be great. I think there's podcasts like that are good for it, but there's just more bad and they make so much more money. Like the terrible narratives about women that men spew out make a lot more money and a lot more attention than the ones that don't.
Than the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, the good ones are seen as corny or they're soft. Or, I mean, it's men needing to get over their own complex around emotions and like sitting to have a conversation with another man about, you know, my fears on being a husband, my fears on marriage, like that's something that we should allow space for. mm-hmm. that for some reason is yes, seen as without whack it being and like corny.
Gay.
Yeah. Yeah, or gay, like, or I've feminized seen some, in some way.
I've seen some videos and opinions of people talking about Clay talking to his friends, and they're like, oh, he's talking to him a little too much. Like, what, oh your friend God. Knows a little bit. What?
What? Like, why could that, how could that ever be seen as a bad thing?
I don't know.
That's so, like, for, it starts there for me. Like, yeah. we yeah. really got to yeah. just, like, destigmatize emotion and men just being comfortable with emotion. Like,
yep.
Because it's yeah. showing up real funky in relationships with us because yeah. you've yeah. gone through your teens, yeah. your 20s, your 30s, not knowing how to be vulnerable with anybody. Better mm-hmm. yet, your dad mm-hmm. and your friends, the closest people to you. So the first person you're doing this with is your girl mm-hmm. and putting that on her. And that's not fair to us. We don't want to deal with that. You know what I mean? It's so interesting, this whole.
It is.
It's very interesting. And we're not going to solve it today, so we'll keep
going. No, that. We're not. We'll have to wait for another after show for another situation.
I know, another yeah. show. Okay, what else? Amy and Johnny, lots of Amy and Johnny. And no
oh
cares.
My God, they're... so boring. She looks really pretty, though.
She looks happy gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Yes. I didn't need the gloves. I think you said that as well in your fashion recap.
Yeah, you don't need them. You didn't need a red lip, red gloves, and a red dress. We don't need all that, but it was
really stunning. Pretty. Yes. Yeah. And yeah, they're happy a year later. They're, you know, everything's easy breezy. Then we got some viewer questions, which mm-hmm. they had the alums dish out, which I very much appreciated.
Same.
We asked Jessica, how does Autumn, how's your daughter think of all of this?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was interesting. She said she didn't let her watch the whole show. Just mm-hmm. a little tidbit, but she, talked about how her daughter's like never seen her cry, and so just it allowed her, she became more human in her daughter's eyes, just letting her see a different side of her, a vulnerable side to her, and also like teaching her that crying and emotions and all of that is not a weakness. You know, mommy yeah. does cry as well, and it's
yeah.
fine.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because I feel like I didn't see my mom cry for a long time.
Same.
Like
I remember the first time I saw her cry, and I was like,
"You how old were you?"
Oh God, that
it was a while. It was like teen years.
Maybe like middle school. I feel like middle school. It was middle school. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I was like, oh my God. So I think that's a lot of women. It's same. Like you're trying to put on a strong front for the kids, and so yeah, that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Amy and Johnny, were condoms not an option?
Oh my God. And Giannina asking that question was hysterical.
Her big old pregnant belly. Right. I still don't know what they're doing. Amy said she's not on birth control. He never got a vasectomy. I guess they're just using condoms.
I was confused. Fucking despicable. They are married. They can't figure something else out.
I was like, is she on an IUD? She said she's like, I'm not on birth control.
On.
Which maybe she was talking about like the pill, but maybe she has.
Yeah.
IUD or something, but I was like, I still don't understand what y'all doing, and I really don't care anymore, so whatever.
That's a huge perk of marriage
is to not have to use condoms. So that would be really wild if they are just doing the condom things in their marriage.
No. But I know people who do it, but no.
I know, to each their own. I know people who do it, to each their own, but interesting. Chelsea, what did you think about Laura and Jessica's conversation about Jimmy at the bar?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she said she found it was weird to watch, a little disrespectful considering what they were going through in their relationship. Mm-hmm. It did add to her insecurities. She was a bit hurt by it, but it's very clear her and Jessica are like good friends now, and they don't
get
She's like, I love Jessica with my whole heart. We're on good terms.
That was
like,
a lot.
Big deal.
That was a lot. The South is a lot. Yo, this is really something. I'm just blaming the South blanket, but I don't know if it's true. And this might just be these two people. I don't know.
I feel like Chelsea and Jessica both, in very subtle ways throughout the reunion, were trying to make it very clear that they are friends. That they, Auntie Chelsea, like, we're good friends. There's no beef. Like, you thought you was going to come here and try to pin us again. Like, it's not happening.
Right. Yeah, they didn't want that edit.
They didn't want that edit. And they're like, we're fine. Jimmy, what did your friend think about Chelsea sharing your little secret with the world? And yeah, he said, you know, she didn't deserve that. She didn't love hearing it, obviously. And then this is where he gave his context. He's like, I do have a lot of male friends, but with guys, we don't get emotional with each other. Like, we're not doing that. That's why I have my girlfriends to support me and to like help me through. And, that's a lot of men. That is a lot of
men. They have girlfriends to talk to about their emotions.
I think
to?
So. Yes. I think they're fucked. I don't know if they've also fucked. That is weird. But I do think men, that's kind of the purpose of a lot of women friends in males' lives is for them to do the emotional shit with them because they can't do it with their guys. It gets hairy when you fuck them. Yeah. That's a whole other thing. But just the concept of like keeping female friends because you need, because you know, you fully acknowledge you have emotions that need to get out. And you have to talk that you like, it's like they know I have to talk about things with somebody.
Someone, yeah.
You know, so even just that acknowledgement, I was like, God, that is so, it just makes me sad. It just makes me really sad.
Yeah, it makes me exhausted. My back hurts now thinking about it, about the emotions I've been carrying.
It seems so overly complicated for no reason. Just men, can you just not talk to each other? Like this wall that we just keep trying to keep up, that men cannot talk emotions, we can't do it. And it's like they are trying to sustain this wall.
For the sake of patriarchy.
Yes.
Like being right or whatever.
And you're now keeping girlfriends strategically in your life so you can talk emotion with that. It's just so much extra work because y'all don't want to talk about how you feel. It's just wild.
Because then you're gay.
Yeah, because then you're gay. Or like, so it's like, what are y'all doing? Get out of your own way, please. This is exhausting. I'm exhausted talking about it. Like, oh my God. And so yeah, he says he told Chelsea out of confidence, and obviously was really pissed that she mentioned it. Then again tried to bring up she has an ex-boyfriend that she hangs out with. Chelsea's like,
why he keep bringing that up? Yeah.
That's his tit for tat in this situation. He's like, I fucked her, but you have an ex-boyfriend. Like,
I know, he always does that though. Foot in mouth does. Never has a conversation where it's this at least a toe in there.
I God, know Jimmy. It's true, he could have ended this whole thing and not even brought that up and it would have been fine. Just has to like sabotage himself by saying some dumb shit that is not warranted. And then 89 Degrees asked the cast, like, what did you guys think about that being, you know, things being shared on camera? Jerame and his full narcissistic self had to just bring up Bean Dip because he is obsessed with himself.
God. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Everybody was like just looking at him like crickets. Shut up, we know exactly what you're trying to do. Shut up. And Chelsea just apologized for the moment again and says she forgot the cameras were there, it was what she was really struggling with internally and it came up and that was that. And Jimmy does acknowledge that it was the defining moment in their relationship. It was like the final straw. And he said after that he apologized because he's like, I should have ended things with her then. After that moment, he was kind of just still going through the motions of like trying to make this relationship work and dragging her through it. And he said, because I loved her, but in all honesty, probably should have just ended that relationship. Died there.
Ended then.
It ended then. It should just, he should have just broke up things. Sleeves tried to bring up Jimmy and Jessica and their like vibe at the pool party.
Yeah, I don't know. Which is
Jessica was like, there was nothing there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing. But then we find out Jimmy and Jessica, what's going on with your friendship?
Here it got weird. To me here, I was like, oh, wait, y'all are fighting. Like, there's something going on.
There's something going on. And Chelsea was kind of sitting there in the middle. Like,
oh, my God. Like, I just did, like, how insecure could I get? The fuck? Y'all are fighting in between me now?
In between me now, and I got to keep it together. So, yeah, this was a lot. Jessica was like, I thought we were friends. We left on great terms. When the show aired, I knew he was going to get a bad rap. I didn't realize how bad things were going to be online. I messaged him. I told Chelsea, you know, I don't think it's fair how y'all are getting dragged. And, you know, I'm not going to let you guys go out like that. So they kind of, you know, were jokey on social media, try to lighten the mood. But then Jimmy did an interview. Seems quite recently to the taping of this reunion.
Yeah, yeah.
and Jessica said he was just dragging her. How it was the first opportunity he got to throw her under the bus and lie, mm-hmm. and he mm-hmm. did that. He claims that she was hammering him about, mm-hmm. you know, exploring other relationships. And she was like, that was not true. I told you you could explore other relationships.
Yep.
He said in the interview on their last date, she stormed out after 10 minutes. And that's why mm. one of the reasons why he broke up with her. She's like, that also was not true. We were there yep, for a hot minute talking.
I saw it. I was like, oh,
and
no.
we saw it. Jimmy. That last date was 2 hours and 13 minutes long.
And he said 10 minutes.
He said she stormed
why did you
out.
Shorten it? That what? You can't conflate 2 hours, 13 minutes, no. and 10. And 10 no. minutes. And they had an intermission we saw. Please. An
intermission that they both agreed on. She's yeah. like, we both agreed yeah. to take a break.
Right.
So you're trying to make it seem like I stormed out on my own accord after 10 minutes. And he's like, well, it only felt like it was, you know, like 10 minutes or whatever. And they ran that tape and it was two Woo! Hours and 15 minutes. They were in that pod. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. Jimmy, what are you talking about?
I don't know. Now heck? I'm a little, now I'm side-eyeing Jimmy.
I feel like he was getting... It's so immature. It's extremely immature. I feel like he was getting a bad rap online, and Jessica was getting all the, you know, EpiPen. Everybody's like, the EpiPen lines. Yeah.
Oh my God. The TikTok sound of yeah. you need your EpiPen?
Yeah. The EpiPen. Yeah. And he wasn't getting any of that type of love. And so any moment in an interview where they're like, well, what do you think about Jessica? He was going to take a moment to, because he's butthurt about him being dragged.
Yeah, to, yeah, right, right.
Try to spin okay, a story dude. And let her mm-hmm. get some heat or something, which is yeah. so unnecessary, immature. It's like,
yeah, Jimmy.
Just, I don't know. At least I don't get it. It's just so, like, why put out a false narrative? Just in the interview, if somebody asks you how things with Jessica, she's doing great. I wish her yeah. the best. Mm-hmm. Boom. That's it. It doesn't ever have that's to be a storyline. It doesn't have to be a narrative. Like, nothing. Mm-mm. But you just felt so butthurt that you were getting dragged that you wanted her to get a little bit of that heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you look ridiculous on TV when they play the tape.
Because the heat's... like, right. Because the heat's not even the truth. The heat has
is
to be
not
the truth,
even
Jimmy.
The truth. At least.
Oh my God.
I don't think too far. Oh God. Let's see what else. We randomly talk about Zach and Bliss. They show footage of their baby shower.
Yeah, what? Well, Vanessa or sleeves anytime for yeah, babies. She's
baby
in
talk. Is in it. Alexa's mm-hmm. also pregnant. She's 5 months pregnant.
So nice. And she just put up her little story, her fertility story. Which I can't wait
yeah.
to watch. Yeah.
She mentioned something. They were having fertility issues. They were about mm-hmm. to do IVF and then they got pregnant naturally. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. Brittany and Kenneth.
Yeah.
So I do agree. This segment was a little underwhelming. I thought they would really dig into their breakup, replay back the scene, maybe play mm-hmm. us some things we didn't see.
Deleted something. Yeah.
Deleted scenes, something. Kenneth, what did your family think? Did your family meet Brittany? Like mm-hmm. we didn't hear mm-hmm. about any of that. We just kind of talk more about his phone and same thing
and
we've heard
dolphins.
In interviews. Yeah. He's a principal. He had to be on his phone yeah. a lot after being out of work for 3 weeks, blah, blah, blah. They ask him why he looked so unfazed by the breakup, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which I agree. He kind of just like went upstairs and left her there crying. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And same thing we saw him say in other interviews. He's like, everybody mm-hmm. processes differently. I had my emotional moments off camera. I called Clay at one point, you know, in shambles. Mm-hmm. I know how it looked, but that's not what it was. Mm-hmm. And as far as their update today, it seems like they are very close friends.
What is
maybe.
This?
They talk every day.
FaceTime.
FaceTime.
Do you want to FaceTime someone every day who's not Nate? No, right?
No. I would only be doing that if I was into him on the low. If I was in love with him or if I was really into him. That's it. Yep. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm. There's clearly vibes, something going on with these two, and they can pretend like they're friends, but I don't know what's going on. Whatever it is, wish them well. I feel like they're
exactly.
Both like,
I don't care.
Yeah. Like they're like fine people. It's mm-hmm. whatever. And Sleeves even brought up she commended them for how they spoke with a lot of respect towards each other and mm-hmm. seem to have like good communication skills or whatever. And then Matt and Colleen, they're there. They finally moved in, we learned.
They have a townhouse. Looks nice.
Oh, townhouse looks very nice. All is well with them.
Yeah.
And at last.
I'm sorry. I still want to know what the roommates think. I still want to know. Because those roommates were like, Colleen, don't do it. Don't do it with them. I mean, it was dead obvious.
Oh, God. Yeah. They're an interesting little couple. But yeah, they moved in. They're in this thing.
They moved. And people still online still are like, Colleen, blink twice.
I know. Do you need saving? We got you, girl. Like, well, she seems fine, I guess.
Mm-hmm,
And then Matthew, apparently they invited him to the reunion. He declined to come.
That makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense because he knew. And they play back the footage to prove that he did, in fact, say the exact same things. To AD and Amber.
Who have the same name.
The same
AD is also named Amber.
Oh my God, that's true. Oh God.
This is why I can't fuck with niggas who go for people with the same name, like Ben Affleck. Why are there two Jennifer Afflecks walking around?
That's true. Oh,
that's
God.
Crazy. You're a crazy person.
So wild.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't like that.
So, yeah, they play the tape literally damn near word for word. He's saying to both Amber and AD about how they're the one.
The dad.
Talking to
a
the
lot
dad.
About talking to. It gave to me dowry almost. He was so old school with it. I was like, this is right. Getting weird.
So weird. so weird. And didn't we have somebody reach out to us? A friend of him saying
he
it's
is
not
in the
true.
Comments. It's not true. It's all edited. He didn't say that. He came home. He was devastated.
We saw the footage. He literally was saying to Amber,
he said
I'm gonna
the same
ask your
thing.
Dad for permission. Like, said the same thing. How do you explain that? What were you doing? Why were you doing that? And I like that she added the context. Like, my dad passed away. Like,
yes,
I told,
yes.
I shared the
There's
gravity
something different
of not,
between us.
Different. The gravity of not having my dad here and then him kind of using, oh, I wish your dad were here so I could ask him permit. Like, that's gross. That's gross behavior. Oh, yeah, yeah. We did learn a little plot twist. Didn't expect this. That AD and Matthew went on two dates
some
after.
Dates? Cooked her dinner. That means they were at someone's
dinner.
Home.
Home? The hell?
Oof.
And yeah, after that, it fizzled out. Just that they just have different lifestyles. They want different things. It didn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Interesting.
Very. They would have been a very interesting duo.
Interesting. Oh my God. Even after, I wonder when those dates were. She said after the show. I'm assuming after the show before it aired.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because it just aired. So that would have been weird. Yeah. So she still didn't know. Like, I guess she. That's not true, though. She did know.
Amber no, she definitely her. Knew. Amber, knew. Yeah. Her and Amber were like, oh, you too? Okay. And then Amber left.
Yeah.
I wonder if him and Amber had dates and he cooked her rice and chicken.
And cooked
probably
her
the same
meal.
Shit.
Uh-huh. Yep, same shit. Oh, man.
Huh.
But I understand the first date because I would understand wanting to, who's this guy? Let me meet him. Let me see. Mm-hmm. Let me hear him apologize to me, blah, blah, blah. I guess whatever she heard on that first date was like enough to, let me see. Let me give it a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whatever. I guess you got to see it all through.
Yeah. And Clay just left her at the altar. That would have been a gag. She showed up to the reunion with
oh
Matthew.
Oh my God.
That would have been a gag,
I could not. I really
oh my
couldn't
God.
Take that.
Been everything.
Oh my God. I would feel so bad for Clay.
I know.
Because Clay already from the pods was like, Matthew, that's who I'm competing against? What? To see them walk out hands in hand. Oh my God. I would just curl up and die. Oh Lord. And then, yeah, we catch up with Chelsea wearing her signature magenta.
That pink suit. Oh, wait a minute. Wait. People, well, this isn't really relevant, but it was just really funny how Clay and Brett were having this conversation about like, yeah, you're a stand-up black man. Yeah, you are too, man. And Kwame was just sitting right there. Not Kwame.
I know.
There.
Well, he wasn't the example, for being honest. Like,
yeah, he wasn't. That's true. Never mind. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's just move on. I was trying to shit on Kwame for no reason. Let me just move
for
on.
No reason.
I'm sorry, Kwame. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Kwame. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I think, I mean, if you look at it, like, Brett and Tiffany was so perfect. Brett had no hiccups,
yeah,
no nothing.
Yeah.
Kwame and Chelsea had more of a Love is Blind story, where there was hiccups. Yes. It was, like, a little wonky.
Yeah.
You know, people came hard on Kwame. We came hard on Kwame in points. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I get it. Him just sitting in the cut. But Chelsea and her signature magenta. Imagine if magenta is your signature color.
God. Well, you gotta make it fucking work. You gotta wear pink for the rest of your life.
I know. Her timeline is very pink, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
On her Insta, I was looking at yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, they 2 years married. They're still married. Doing a lot of traveling. Going to Hawaii tomorrow.
Wow.
You know, they seem happy.
I guess so. Yeah, you're in LA. You might as well. If you have time.
Oh, they live in LA?
No, it was filmed in LA.
Mm-hmm. Oh, going to Hawaii. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, Chelsea shares that she's been working with casting for Love is Blind.
Yeah.
Which, homegirl.
I don't know.
Explain Matthew and Trevor, please.
I would have loved for them to clarify when her start date.
Did you help cast this here season?
These people, because Jerome and Sarah Ann are right here.
Mm-hmm. Trevor and Matthew. Like,
and Trevor. And Matthew, I understand them casting him for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I don't think you can get to
suss that out in
the I don't think you can get all the way there. But Jerome had hidden guns around his last home.
There's a police report out on Jerome. Y'all ain't see that?
Is there one?
I don't know.
Let us know if there is one. I really want
to
know.
I haven't checked to see if they found it yet. But homegirl said he pulled guns on her and the cops came. So it's funky. It's funky.
So maybe she's in Minnesota. Casting Love is Blind Minneapolis.
Maybe the next one. Let's see.
Love is Blind Detroit. I know that's coming as well.
Really?
Really. I am thrilled about Love is Blind Detroit.
Is that what is the next season? When is DC?
Know.
They've been talking about DC forever.
For a year and a half. I don't
that's
know.
That's gotta be the next one. That's wild. Yeah, Micah and Izzy, they announce Perfect Match.
Coming this summer.
He's fixed his credit score.
And then demanded a standing ovation.
Like, y'all don't know the work I went through this past year to fix that credit.
And
y'all
people
clap for me.
As soon as he came on, people were like, not the broke one. Texting.
No!
No! Please. Oh my God.
They
this poor
him.
Guy.
I know. He can't live it down. When he searches his name, it'll always come up bad credit, bad finances. Like, that sucks.
So terrible.
That sucks.
Oh.
And then I thought the closing was so funny. Sleeps was asking everyone, like, what do you guys miss about the process? And production making sure to make mention.
I turned to Crunch. I said, you know how many lawsuits they get?
How many active and live lawsuits are still happening? They had to put in that little clip of everybody saying, we love production. We love the food. Like, just so y'all know, we feed our people here. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was the reunion, my friends.
Amazing. Great job.
Amazing. Great job. I agree. A part two would be nice. If we could really just dive in deep, show more BTS footage. I want to see a whole segment, Brittany and Kenneth, just them on the couch. Tell us what happens. Like,
yes.
We definitely could have used the part two for sure. I would have taken it. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Natalia. Bring out Natalia.
Bring her out, please. Mm-hmm. We still have that unanswered question of what the fuck was the plan? Going to marry this person and then invite another partner in.
Girlfriend.
The marriage. And then start a business? And sell Instagram ads? What were you supposed to do?
I don't know.
So frustrating.
Frustrating not understanding
so
that
So frustrating. Yeah. I think Chelsea, too. Chelsea had, no questions. I think she had a great answer to the Megan Fox thing. I think she's right. She did take it in stride. And she took it with humor. And I am proud of her for that, too.
Mm-hmm.
but just more questions around like her insecurity. How did she feel watching herself back? Does she use the tapes in therapy? Does she like, you know, like,
yeah. And where did they stand today? Jimmy and they asked every other couple, you guys together, what's going on? And then we didn't really get clarification on at all. Yeah. So, and then AD and Clay, we didn't really get that clarification either. I've seen pictures of them kind of together after. Yeah. Maybe still, hanging out, or I don't know what's going on.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are some of the little plot holes that maybe we could have tied up in a part two. But otherwise, thoroughly enjoyed myself. Loved this.
Yeah.
What did we learn? What was your question again? Anything we learned?
I think we should hire a PR firm, a crisis PR firm of some kind. If you go from the hero to the villain within like a couple hours, because your current side piece is exposing you and your ways of going on television, you should probably hire somebody else to help you figure out what your response would be.
Yeah, Trevor's clearly working with nobody. He walked out here on his own accord to try to piece together his own words, and how's that? Yep. Great season, friends.
Oh my God, great season. So good.
This was a fantastic season of Love is Blind.
Mm-hmm.
We dove into so many just deep topics. It was amazing having therapists on to help us make sense. That was always been our dream.
Mm-hmm.
We've said it before. Like, we want to bring on therapist, particularly for Love is Blind, to help us make sense of some of the shit that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, proud of our recap season of this show.
Me too.
I hope you guys enjoyed it and
share
it far and wide. A lot of people love to binge Love is Blind and then binge podcasts afterwards. Share it with them.
Mm-hmm.
Tag us in your story, share us with the world. We love that. Just getting out there because we're, I think, super proud of these episodes. We did a great job with dissecting this here season.
Yep.
And I can't wait for the next one.
But
yeah, we'll be back. We have a lot of exciting things coming up.
We do.
We have some interviews. That's all I'll say. We have some interviews coming up we're excited about.
Of your faves. Yep. Or not, you know.
Or not. Yep.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, we're looking forward to what's coming up. And stick around. We're here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Join the Rose Garden for more. Find us on TikTok, Instagram, rate, review, subscribe. And we'll see you then.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.